From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
So this is day two of the Indaba X South Africa at Wits University. And I just attended a very lovely keynote address, specifically talking about the intersection between NLPs and Africa. And Prof. Paul Primus was giving us perspective on the continent, trends, and perspectives. So welcome, Prof. Paul, to iAfrican.com. Thank you for being here. Prof, before we get into your keynote, walk us through your journey into NLPs. How did you find yourself in the space?
No, good. Thank you so much for having me here. So I'm quite excited. It's my first time on a podcast. Hello. Now, I started my undergrad and, as general BSc, and then I wanted to major in computer science. Mm-hmm. So maths is part of it. You have to take on maths. So in my first year, I tried physics. I tried psychology also as fillers. And then I didn't enjoy them. And then my then lecturer then approached me and said, you know about this linguistics? At that time, Wits Computer Science Department and the Department of Linguistics had wanted to start this program. So I then enrolled for the program. I think I was the only one who enrolled for this program. And then I enjoyed it. It really became a passion of mine. It was fun for me to understand language and the science of languages, mm-hmm. right? And how human beings, comprehend and understand and talk and the kind of mental processes of languages. Mm-hmm. At Honors, then I did kind of a combination of both computer science and linguistics. Mm-hmm. At master's level, then I then entered the fold in terms of contributing to the body of knowledge mm-hmm. by developing a tone labeling algorithm for Sesotho. Mm-hmm. Now, the specific purpose of this was that we had seen that particularly text-to-speech systems developed for local languages did not sound natural. I mean, they are quite intelligible in terms that we can understand, but they're not natural. You can actually tell that you're speaking to a human being, mm-hmm. Which, if you think about the Turing test, the test of intelligence in systems is about interacting with the system that can deceive you mm-hmm. to think that you're speaking to another human being. Mm-hmm. But if you cannot get the naturalness to the T, then mm-hmm. it can't deceive you, mm-hmm. So I developed the algorithm and then published this work. And then for PhD, then I moved into kind of discrete mathematics, mm-hmm. so formal grammars. And after my PhD, then a paper came out about the new status of Sesotho. And then that propelled me back into computational linguistics. And during that time, I was in Stuttgart University for my postdoc fellowship there. And then I came back into linguistics to kind of contribute back into the evolution of our local African languages and kind of drive the conversation and drive the body of work and the contribution so that we can kind of achieve what we set out in terms of, incorporating our local languages into speech technologies and making sure that they receive the equal treatment mm-hmm. and advancement as the other, European or Germanic mm-hmm. And East Asian languages mm-hmm. Get.
So linguistics, natural NLPs, natural language processing, mm-hmm. which is a computer systems and the intersection between those two fields of study. Now, also important, in your keynote, you said something very important. And you also alluded to it now in terms of your PhD. Sesotho, Lesotswana. What is the importance and why should we care about Sesotho, Lesotswana in data sets for NLPs? The language of business is English. Does it make sense from a commercialization or from a profitability point of view to invest in Sesotho and Setswana for NLPs, for example?
I mean, if you look at the numbers, what is the biggest language spoken in South Africa? We We're talking about business, right? Mm-hmm. What is the biggest language?
I mean, one could argue English.
Well, how many speakers does English have?
In South Africa? Mm-hmm. Isn't it like the majority of us?
Yeah. How many speakers does isiZulu have?
A lot.
Which is the number one language in South Africa?
It's isiZulu, right?
Which is, how many speakers does Sesotho have?
I have no idea.
How many countries speak Sesotho as an official language in this continent?
I have no idea, actually.
Zimbabwe?
Okay.
Lesotho?
Okay.
South Africa?
Okay.
Yeah. Sesotho is mutually intelligible with Silozi.
Mm-hmm.
So our languages are quite big in terms of the number of speakers. And therefore, from a business perspective, if you would like to deploy a technology that has impact and can be easily adopted, mm-hmm. right, and inclusive, mm-hmm. right, you cannot neglect the local languages.
Right.
Yes, you can deploy a technology, as a lot of technologies that we see are kind of in English. But you look at the target market of this technology. Mm-hmm. Right? Who are they targeted for? Which LSM is this for? So you would need to think about who your target market is and how to infiltrate the market. Mm-hmm. If you want an exclusive technology, if you want a technology, if you're saying, I want a technology that is for public good, mm-hmm. then you cannot do public good by excluding other members of the society, mm-hmm. by not being able to communicate with them in the language of that they're comfortable in. And in the language that, you know, they can be kind of literate in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, awesome, Paul. Let's get a bit technical. Let's take Sesotho, Letswana, for example, right? In Sesotho, when I say kilapil, it's very different from in Setswana, how to kilapil. Because in Setswana, it means I'm tired. In Sesotho, means I'm literally hungry. Now, in how do we get these NLP data sets right in terms of understanding our culture, home languages, yeah. and the context, you know, in which this AI technology will define these things? How do we get that right?
But the thing is, this is quite an interesting example. Now, you're talking about two different languages, right? Mm-hmm. These are not dialects. Mm-hmm. These are languages mm-hmm. on its own. Mm-hmm. They belong to one group, but there's a language. Mm-hmm. A language on its own by nations on their own, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, there would not be a confusion. If you have a text-to-speech system that has 11 languages, if it's Setswana, then it goes through the Setswana lexicon mm-hmm. and kind of computes on it or does it's computation. If it's Sesotho, then it will go to Sesotho. Now, there has been, because of the multilingual society that we are in South Africa, and we see it, for instance, on social networks, South Africans, we tend to start a word, a tweet in one language and end it in another. Mm-hmm. And we see this happening a lot, mm-hmm. right? South Africans code-switch a lot. Mm-hmm. So these nuances have been, you know, researched quite extensively mm-hmm. In terms of multilingual data sets. For instance, myself and my PhD student, Ronnie, and also another colleague of mine, Togai, we published a Sepedi, Sesotho and Setswana data set
Beautiful.
For sentiment analysis. So a multilingual data mm-hmm. set to kind of capture these nuances.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does, just, you know, make me understand practically, how do you train the data sets to pick up these nuances? Because it could be the same word, as you rightly just said, just used in different contexts. Or, you know, in a sentence, you get Sotho and Afrikaans mixed together. How do you train these NLPs to understand?
To understand which language this is in.
Yes, yeah. or the plurality or the complex yeah. of this multiple languages in one sentence.
Yeah. So the data set is what we use to train the models.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have to get the data set. Mm-hmm. And then from the data set, we create a lexicon. Mm-hmm. And then from this lexicon, then we can train our models.
Okay.
And this is how we get it right.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't train data sets.
Okay.
We use data sets to train.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think then my question is the accuracy of that. How accurate is it? I mean, is it an ongoing thing?
Or? It's an ongoing thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We are still, in terms of training our models, we are still in the R&D phases. We are still trying to see which is the best model on certain limited data sets because mm-hmm. we still don't have this large data set that Germanic languages and East Asian languages have. Mm-hmm. We have large data set, but they're not large enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of accuracy, it would depend on your application. Mm-hmm. And which model you want to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do we get these data sets to be large enough, like Germanic and...
You collect.
Okay. Okay, collect also.
We collect, we make it open, we put them on open data repository.
Okay.
So basically, how we get to that point as Africans is literally tapping into the spirit of Ubuntu.
Okay. Yeah.
Collect, and once you collect, you share it. Mm-hmm. You collect and then share. Okay. And then it's like, you know, Renali pizza and then umulungu
wadlathela.
And because there's no other way that we can get anywhere. if we expect big tech to help drive this, means that they will own the data set for their own commercial use, and therefore we have a problem again with copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Also important, you're the founder of Primus Tech firm, Tech Hub. What is the objective with your hub, and how do you see it contributing to the African tech ecosystem?
So Primus Tech Hub is basically a boutique consulting firm, consulting and advisory firm, and we only deal with data strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the reasons I deal with data strategy at Primus Tech Firm is because digital transformation is that technology is transforming our society, right? And everyone is affected.
Mm-hmm.
Public sector, academia, civil organization, business, everyone is affected. Mm. And how does, this digital transformation journey look like? What is the catalyst
mm-hmm.
that is, transforming the society and moving us towards the digital way? And one of the gaps that I saw is this data. This is what propels.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot transform without data,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you transform if you don't understand your data?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is data for you? So data is a lot of things. This recording is data itself.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. We leave a lot of digital footprint. Each and every organization has data in any form.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, how do they look at that data and kind of take it and analyze it and gain insights from the data
mm-hmm.
in order for them to achieve their business objectives. So basically, this is what the strategy is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we are not saying you have your data, you put it in isolation. We come in and say, this is where you want to go as a business. These are your objectives. This is, what you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at your data assets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where does the data sit? Who has access to it? How do we then transform so you can achieve your business objectives? Yeah.
Also important, your other hat as the, co-director of the intelligence systems at Center. At UJ. What cool stuff are you guys working on?
Oh, yeah, we have very nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You asked us about why we should care. So one of the things that NLP has the power is to preserve our languages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in South Africa, we take for granted because we still speak in our languages. They're still, to some extent, documented. Digitally, we have platforms like the SABC.
Yes.
So, but if you look at other parts, so for instance, if you look at the Central Africa, the languages are going extinct. There are mm-hmm. very few speakers. If you look at the Khoisan languages, it's still the same.
Yes.
So one of the things that the Institute for Intelligence Systems looks at is basically how do we use AI for societal impact
mm-hmm.
and therefore what makes a society, right? We are the flagship institute for the University of Johannesburg to deal with the AI and 4IR strategy of the university.
Okay.
And to that end, we have, your normal teaching and learning. We have the masters in AI, professional masters. We do our nice research, which I do computational linguistics, and we have enterprise development.
Okay.
And to that end, we still also have what we call the Metaverse Research Unit that deals with augmented reality. And then
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that we have managed to come up with, which is quite fun, is that we have managed to recreate Sophia Town prior to the forced removal of the 50s.
Oh, you see?
Using augmented reality. So the team went out to the original, not original, to people who lived in Sophia Town, residents that before the forced removal,
mm-hmm.
and recreate how life was in Sophia Town.
Mm-hmm.
So we've managed to do that under the Metaverse Research Unit. We also have the Center for Data Ethics, where we talk about kind of the limits of computation.
Yes.
Where do we say no?
Okay.
What ethical guardrails should we put on these technologies? When does the train stop? We also have the NetBank Research Chair that kind of focuses on data sciences and data science research as funded by NetBank. And other things that we also have spot. I think you saw the robot dot spot. That is us.
Yeah.
We work on AI projects across all disciplines. We recently just, last year, we partnered with the Goethe Institute and we had the NAWO robot. So the NAWO robot was going all over the world
mm-hmm.
and then it entered our African continent through Nigeria
mm-hmm.
And it made its way down. And in South Africa, our aim was to program the robot to play jazz. So the project was, open-ended. We get artists and technologists together. They come in the same room. They come up with the project and they go ahead. And, what does South Africa without jazz? We are currently working on another cool project with Goethe now. So we are hosting a world-renowned artist, Ale de la Puente, from Mexico. She hit our shores 3 weeks back. And we are trying to kind of model how humans observe clouds.
Okay.
Yeah. Using quantum concepts and quantum mechanics. And this is where we are. And yeah. So we have a lot of cool projects that go into play. We just published a novel data set for Sesotho, Setswana, and Sepedi that can be used to train for, you know, sentiment analysis. Emotion detection is still quite, we are still at infant stages all over the world. But this data set has videos, audio, and text. So it's kind of multimodal. And for the Southern African languages, it's a first of its kind. I believe the Igbo, the Nigerian language, they have it. But for us, it's quite a novel data set for the site. Yeah.
Awesome, Paul. In closing, you've published this data set, Ya Sesotho, Sepedi, and Setswana. You know, when you look into the future, what excites you and how do you envision this data set maturing? What do you want it eventually to do in, you know, the NLP space, in the AI space? What are your ambitions?
My ambitions is for scientists, academics, to go back to being creative and innovative. So just have fun. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to predict the future. That's not my job. I'm a scientist. Mm. My job is to go where people don't want to go, to be more imaginative. I need, South African academia to go back to being very, very innovative, to think ahead, to experiment. Mm. I would like people to experiment with this data set without any expectation. 100%. Let's play with the data set. Let's see what comes up. Exact science is not exactly science. Mm-hmm. I have no expectations, but I would like to see what people come up with. That's why I put it, in an open data repository so that anyone can come in and play with it and publish, and let's see what it comes up with. And this is why I want open data for our languages.
Let's have fun, and we're having fun at iAfrican.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter @iAfrican. On LinkedIn @iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.